News Radio KMAN's In Focus continues this hour with the Raleigh County Historical Museum. And joining us from there, we have Alana Parker, Curator of Design. Good morning, Alana.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Yeah, it's certainly a pleasure. We always appreciate getting a chance to talk with you guys there and kind of get to break things up from all of the bad news going on right now in the world and talk about something kind of important here, and that is the 19th Amendment, which was 100 years ago, that allowed women the right to vote.
Yes, absolutely. We have very much been enjoying researching the women's suffrage movement here in Raleigh County and found some really incredible stories in particular that relate to some of the notable suffrage leaders across the nation, such as Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, who were actually here in Manhattan.
They actually spoke here, huh?
Yes. And in fact, it's interesting to see how many times Susan B. Anthony was here in Manhattan. But of course, she toured across the nation. I mean, that's what she did to promote the women's suffrage movement. But the first time Susan B. Anthony was here, it was with Lucy Stone. And Lucy Stone was, of course, another prominent women's suffrage leader. And they were here in 1857. So at that time, Kansas is still a territory and developing. Manhattan has just been founded 2 years before that. And there's a story from a man, his name is George Wells. And he retold this story in 1928, but in 1857, so he's in Manhattan, and he can recall when Lucy Stone and Susan B. Anthony were traveling through Kansas and stopped in Manhattan to speak. And in trying to stay in one of the hotels on Poins Avenue, the proprietor of the hotel actually denied them a stay because of their women's suffrage beliefs. He thought it was far too radical, and in fact, he thought that meant they were immoral, so they were denied a stay in a hotel here in 1857 in Manhattan.
Wow, that is hard to believe that, you know, even just 150, 160 years ago that was the thought.
Yes, and Susan B. Anthony, she was born in 1820, and thinking about what life was like then for women, it was thought that a woman speaking in public was thought to be indecent. Women did not attend college at that time. In fact, Lucy Stone, who I mentioned, she is one of the first female graduates from college, and that was in 1847. But these women, they traveled around talking about divorce reform. Of course, at this time, it was thought you do not divorce your husband. It could be an abusive relationship and you stay with your husband. So they were working on reform for that. What a woman earned if she made money. Back then, it was the husband's. Women were prohibited from owning property. So these are the kinds of things, these issues that these two women. And then later, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, she was one of the women at the Seneca Falls Convention that organized that. These are the kinds of issues, and then in addition to voting, what they are proponents of.
I think a lot of people, they've heard the name Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and I think I remember even in school doing a report on her, but she's not as well known, it seems like, as some of the others.
Yes, and I think one reason that might be, so Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, they remained friends for 50 years. They met in 1851, and it's just such a fortuitous event of them meeting, because you have these two women that were very much ahead of their time when you look at them in the context of their environment. So these two women meet. They are complete opposites. Susan B. Anthony is a modest Quaker. Elizabeth Cady Stanton came from a wealthy family. Susan B. Anthony made a point to not get married, and the reason for that being she thought that by being married, that would mean she would forfeit her independence, whereas Elizabeth Cady Stanton married and had 7 children. So when you read about their history between each other and their friendship, Elizabeth Cady Stanton was the better writer, but she had to stay home with her children, and then Susan B. Anthony could serve as her legs and get out there traveling, like I said, across the nation. And to think of what a spectacle it would have been for this woman to travel around. She endured, people would throw eggs at her, rotten vegetables, just to be able to get out and speak. And she referred to it, so as she's out traveling through the countryside, she refers to the letters back to Elizabeth Cady Stanton as she wishes she could join her in the battlefield. It's interesting to see how many times it's referred to as the battlefield and in going out there and fighting for women's suffrage.
You know, it's so interesting that there was such a push back against women having the right to vote here. Why, I guess, what was the ultimate fear that so many people had in allowing that? It just, to us nowadays, just doesn't seem like it would be that big of an issue.
Right. Well, and that's a really good question. You know, and not all women, it's very easy sometimes to paint things in this way or that way, but even not all women were for women's suffrage. They didn't feel that they, if their husband is voting, for instance, that they needed to vote because their husband will take care of it, assuming that they felt the same way politically. And not all men were against women's suffrage. There were men that were very much in support of that, even locally here. And one example, to focus it back a little more locally, is I'm sure many are familiar with the name Pillsbury. We have Pillsbury Crossing, and that is named for the Pillsbury family. Josiah Pillsbury was postmaster here in Manhattan. He was one of the early surveyors here in Manhattan and owned the Enterprise newspaper. And in there, he is even promoting women's suffrage. So when I mentioned that Susan B. Anthony was denied a stay in the hotel, it's very likely that at that point, she actually was invited to stay with the Pillsbury family and became friends with their daughter, Annie. So one of the really incredible artifacts that we have in the collection of the Riley County Historical Society is a letter that was written to Annie Pillsbury in 1881 from Susan B. Anthony. So it's amazing to see this relationship after she left Manhattan. She maintained that relationship with Annie Pillsbury, and she actually writes to her about a book that she is writing with Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Madeline Jocelyn Gage, and it's A History of Woman Suffrage. And so that book, in fact, ended up in the college library, so it would be Kansas State Agricultural College, because she's trying to, when I say she, Susan B. Anthony is trying to get this book as wide as possible across the country, and it was Annie Pillsbury that actually was able to secure that for locally for people to read here. But that's one of the neat artifacts, that just to be able to see, you can see Susan B. Anthony's signature very clearly there on that letter. But the Pillsbury family being one of those prominent families here. And one thing I apologize, failed to mention, Annie Pillsbury, after her father passed away, Annie became the first female postmaster here in Manhattan.
Wow, that's cool.
And she was 17 years old.
17, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, and there's probably quite a few women here locally that were notable for helping the suffrage movement.
Yes, and that's what's been just so valuable to read the individual stories of some of these local women. One in particular is Mattie Toothaker Kimball. And so a little bit of background about Mattie. Her debut into the political world was made, she was only 10 years old, and she would accompany her father, William, on a trip that he made through Kansas, campaigning for Governor Robinson, Charles Robinson, who was Kansas's first governor. So what she would do is on this trip, this campaign, she had a little rhyme that she would present to the audience at every political rally. So she went on to become, she was the first district, the fifth district president of the Kansas Equal Suffrage Association, and then being a Kansas State Agricultural College graduate, and that was in 1893, she maintained her involvement in the community here, and she served as the president of the Woman's Day Kansas Club. And in 1920, Mattie was selected as a Kansas presidential elector, making her the first Kansas woman to serve in that position. And her story, if you look at this woman's resume, she's just incredible. It's hard to believe how many things she was involved in. And one I just actually learned recently, Mattie Toothaker Kimball of Manhattan, this is in the paper, made an elegant appeal, which was later embodied in a resolution, that the Kansas State Federation should recognize the cottonwood tree as the state tree. So it looks like we can thank local Mattie Toothaker Kimball for having an involvement in that, which I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a nice little tidbit there of Kansas history.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about all these great women who've made contributions to our area. And we'll do that after this on News Radio KMAN.